This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 17th of August 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. As always, we're kickstarting the week with a look at a trio of art exhibitions that have caught the eye of today's expert, the one and only Ossian Ward, head of content at the Listen Gallery. On his list are a look at text in art at the Luxembourg and Dayan Gallery's new show, Word by Word, the Listen Gallery's new group exhibition that incorporates performance, film and painting, amongst other artistic media, entitled The Boys, the Girls and the Political. And then we'll discuss 20 years of the Zabludovich collection. That is all to come here on The Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Ossian.
Hello.
How's the classic British summer treating you so far?
You know, it's really lovely. So I'm decamping to Finland, where I believe it's even more lovely. Now, they've been having similar kind of Siberian summer. It is a bit like Siberia out there, because once you get to this stage of August, even the summer shows are closing. That's how late this is, this review that we're doing. But I'll endeavour to pick up on some things that aren't going to close
immediately. It can be an Indian summer of art.
Yes, let's hope so.
Do you like what I've done there with that?
People have to stay open. I mean, they've got galleries, they're paying the rent, you know, there's no stopping.
Exactly. Let's get straight into it then. With the Luxembourg and Dayan Gallery for their latest show, Word by Word, a selection of artworks dating back to the 60s, all incorporate text and language as an artistic medium. Tell us a little bit about what is on show here.
I'd like to say it's the classic summer show. It's lots of stuff piled in together, but the theme is good. It's text-based work, so, you know, it's not lots to read, but it's sort of where the word takes over and the text becomes a thing. The pictures are reduced to mere decoration, some of them in Marine Hugonnier's beautiful newspaper covers of The Guardian and New York Times. And she paints over all the actual photographs with beautiful blocks of colour, so all you get is the text. And the ones that catch your eye, you know, it's kind of classic stuff, as you said, from the 60s conceptualists like Onkawara, who obviously painted a date painting every day. Well, he missed a few days, to be honest. But this one's May 19th, 1991, until he died last year in 2014. So that's a kind of classic. A Joseph Beuys blackboard, chalk text on that. That's kind of a classic as well. But yeah, the one I really liked was Rukrit Tiruvaniya, who's the American Thai artist who's painted this big, again, newspaper is actually a theme. So it's Thai newspaper front pages or pages all pasted onto a canvas. And then he's painted the words same but not equal and placed the whole thing on two piles of rice. So there's this kind of idea that it's, you know, a Thai stereotype. Indeed, I look at that and I read it as same, same, but different, which is a classic sort of Thai. But and I think it's a political work rather than, you know, being tongue-in-cheek in that sense. So words are the way to get across your message better even than pictures, you know, the old adage of 1,000 words. And apart from that, I think, yes, you know, you've got the classic summer show feel, but there, you know, there's a bit more meat on the bone in this particular.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because people often talk about, oh, you know, trying to make sense of the language of art or the pictorial language. And it's interesting when you have a whole show that is about the pictorial language of art, and that is letters. It is script. It is words.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of people say, oh, this is very meta, don't they? And I never really understand what people mean, but I just think it's rather intriguing.
Yeah, well, I think you're onto something there. The Carl Andre work, and you know, everyone knows Carl Andre for the grids and the carpets and the metal. He's done this beautiful text work, which, among other things, talks about, you know, what he has for breakfast, that kind of thing, but all in these tiny little grids. But at the end, the text goes into red pen and suddenly says, a thing is a hole in a thing it is not. That's genius. So, you know, there's sort of concept as well as visuals that you get from a word. I like the show, actually.
And that show, which Ossian likes, is Word by Word, on at the Luxembourg and Dayan Gallery until the 5th of September. Let's move on. Let's go to your stomping ground, shall we? The Listen Gallery. The latest show, The Boys, The Girls and The Political. It sounds like there's all sorts going on here. Yeah. Performance, painting, film, everything. What exactly? Describe the delights contained therein.
Again, not a classic summer show, only in terms of it being a group, similar age range, I guess, similar generation, artists from mainly from London and New York. But it's the collaboration. It's the way they work together. So two of them work in a team. Another one is in a collective. Another one is part of, you know, another scene. They're very much sort of overlapping, and the works do the same. So you walk from one room to the other and see one painting, and then that painting will kind of echo in another space or indeed in the other gallery. So one of the works that does this kind of drawing together is a work called Facebook Blue Filler, where the artist Amnud and Dar, which is three guys in a collective, have gone round and filled in the holes left by the last show with filler, polyfiller, but this is coloured, the exact colour of Facebook Blue, which is, you know, that kind of glue that we all use on our phones. It's this kind of social media glue that sort of brings us all together. And in a funny kind of way, they're doing the opposite. They're actually distracting you from the show. So there's a kind of cheeky irreverence to this bit of blue here and there, which, yeah, it ties together the show, but it also kind of distracts you and makes you look around and think, well, you know, what's the fabric holding this all together? Similarly, there's a video piece that's in three parts that, you know, kind of splits across different spaces. So you kind of get these weird echoes and reverberations coming back. So it's definitely more than your average, let's put up some work for summer.
And it's interesting, you talk about, you know, social media, and there's always these interesting, I don't know, comparisons with things, themes like, I guess you're talking about sharing and, yeah, and the authorship of, yeah, things. And I guess those are maybe themes which are picked up in these and other works, perhaps, in the exhibition.
Yeah, well, there's the paintings by a guy called Ben Schumacher from New York. And actually, the paintings are really weird conjunctions of landscapes and figures, and they're sort of going in and out of, you know, under being able to understand them. But around them are text, again, speaking of text works. But these are actually the names of his friends as artists. They're almost like taken from a private view card. So you get the idea that he's working with these people, and actually he's kind of advertising other shows within it. So, yeah, maybe it's meta. But one of the best pieces is downstairs. There's a video of a performance, and it's actually a load of people on yoga mats kind of busying themselves. And it's actually, you'll know all about this being in radio, the Foley technique, you know, the kind of making noises to sound like in a radio play, or, you know, a gunshot or a crunch on the gravel. And their performance is a sex scene, but done with yoga mats and lots of people going, ooh, ah, and shuffling around and, you know. And it's great because it takes you a little while to figure out what's actually going on, but it's also performative, and you know, they've done it live before. It's a great piece. That's by Ed Thomason and Lucy Beach.
Now, it's interesting because you're talking about, oh, you know, not your typical summer show. Just on that point, I mean, is that a real, I don't know if it's a problem exactly. Is it a phenomenon in, you know, across galleries, I guess? There is this feeling a bit, particularly, I guess, in the European space that, you know, August, yeah, the world shuts down. Is it important to, I don't know, fight back against that a little bit?
Yeah, and the seasons keep changing. So you'll now find there's actually art fairs starting in August, there's Seattle Art Fair. There's an art fair in the beginning of September in Chicago. This is going to mess with people's much-loved holiday plans. So yes, people do go away in August, but that will keep changing. People have to stay open. They've got galleries to run. They, you know, you can't just stop. But yes, the collectors do go away. So that may give you some time to experiment, maybe some time to do something different. The old school way of doing it was just like, what's in the stock room? What haven't we sold? Let's just bung it up. And that's why summer shows get a bad name. And indeed, people are fighting back. So I know you've talked before on the review about the Thomas Hirschhorn show and the Michael Borumans show. These are dark shows. These are not summer shows. You know, people are also fighting back with the less than sunny stuff, which is good fun.
And fitting,
yes,
for London,
yeah,
oftentimes.
Exactly, it's dark.
That's Ossian's view of The Boys, The Girls and The Political on show at his Listen Gallery until the 5th of September. Let's move on, Ossian.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Zabludovitz collection. We've got a retrospective of the gallery's collection. It's just taking place. Tell us a bit about this one. I don't know, remind us about what this, what are they all about? And they're,
so,
they,
yeah,
celebrating?
So the 20 years of the collection, I suppose they've been in this amazing space, this old church, I think it's a Methodist church up in Kentish Town, Chalk Farm, for a bit less than 20 years, I think, probably 10 or so, as an institution. But the collection, it has its. I don't think they've quite gone back to the earliest works, but this one sort of starts with some YBAs, your favourite kind of Gillian Wearings and Keith Tysons and even a Damien Hirst in there, but very quickly shifts gear into what they're better known for, which is much younger emerging international artists. I suppose, yes, it shows that they were there when the Sarah Lucases and the Wolfgang Tillmans were in a similar position. Mm. But, you know, we're not quite sure how any of the other ones in the other rooms, apart from, say, someone like Elizabeth Price, who's won the Turner Prize for her amazing films, has a wonderful film, and a couple of the other names where you think, okay, shown Josephine Mexepa or Pamela Rosencrantz, they've been shown in Venice, you know, they've had a certain amount of establishment already. But a lot of you think, well, you know, are they really the next YBAs? And that's great to think about that, to wonder whether the collection is really doing that or whether it's actually broadening out. And I think it is. I think there's artists from all over. There's artists from Brazil and, you know, different ages even. They've got Maria Lasnig and Isa Genskin, who are, you know, women of a certain age, but they're not the young, hot things that you might expect. So, yeah, it shows there's a breadth, but it also shows that they're not afraid to experiment. And they've been putting on good performances and talks and public events throughout the run of the show. And 20 years, yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I just wondered, in terms of the, I guess, the founding principles and how it's evolved over that time, are they, you know, the people who are behind this, are they still doing the same things? Are they still preoccupied with the same, I don't know, objectives, if you'd call it that?
Yeah. No, I would say. I think it was totally different to begin with. So that's why I think it's almost like a slightly false start to talk about the YBAs, because as far as I'm aware, the Zabludoviches did begin with some bigger, the big photographers, so Struth and Ruth and, those guys, the Gerskys. So I'm not sure this is telling the whole story, but then, you know, it's always going to be a partial history. And then maybe their current ethos is to collect artists who are less well known, who are emerging, to help support them. So they'll often commission new work. They have a residency project in, of all places, Finland and Las Vegas and New York. So that they are actually working with younger artists to help them kind of establish their careers. So I would say it's changed, but that's the current thrust. And you do get that in the majority of this show. And yeah, it's also much more engaging than your average summer show. You've got sort of serious big works. You've got fun, engaging works. You've got some tougher video pieces to sit through. So yeah, enjoyed this one greatly.
And it's interesting when you look at across, I guess, the wealth of pieces that they have, to consider two things. One, about in terms of presenting it, you know, what's the kind of curatorial agenda, if you like? Mm-hmm. And then looking further ahead, you know, how do you ensure that you keep that wealth of works, you know, turning over? Are they going to be on display again soon? Are they going to send them out and about? What's the sort of, what does the future hold?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question for them about where else they can show it. Because like I said, they have these other sort of bases, but it's difficult. It's difficult to show all the work all the time and support new work. So arguably, they need to maybe turn themselves into a better lending institution. I may be speaking out of turn. They may already do a lot of lending, but that's the kind of way in which you can then spread the tentacles of where the collection is, to enliven it again, to enrich it. Doing things like this, obviously, intermittently, and actually showing them. It's always the tricky one for a private foundation. What do you do with the work that you're stashing away and buying, and you're keeping the art world going? Yes, but then you need to sort of think about how best to get it back out there. So, you know, you become like a mini institution, lending things out and, you know, borrowing works and trying to keep the works in the ecosystem as much as possible, rather than like selling them, which is the worst thing, you know, the Charles Saatchi way.
Austin, thanks very much for being on the show as always. Great to hear from you.
Well, we'll hope for an Indian summer at some point.
We will indeed.
I'll see you in autumn in 5 minutes.
That brings us to the end of today's programme. Thanks to Rossian for joining us here. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher, and our researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow talking music then. But for now, goodbye from me. Thanks for listening.